Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, let me grab the headphones. I'll get dialed into the studio. Get these dogs to shut up. Oh, goodness. I better close the window or the neighbors are going to get mad. Hope the guests call in tonight. I wonder if anybody's going to call in. Well, let's do this thing.
It's Rated G Radio, and this is your host, Garrett Miller.
Hey everybody, it's Rated G Radio, and it is Thursday night, the last Thursday of August 2014, that we will be doing the show live. Well, it's because it's the last Thursday. If it was, you know, the second Thursday of the month, it'd say, well, we've got two more Thursdays left, but we don't. So it's the last Thursday of the month, last Thursday for August of 2014, and we are live tonight for the next hour. If there is a topic you want to talk about or just you want to chat about your day, give me a call, 323-657-1493. Again, 323-657-1493 is the hotline. You can call in anytime. And big thanks to Jason Nino for being on the show on Monday night show. He is the poet who read from his book. And also we had a great response on Tarot Tuesday with Jeff Michaels. So if you have not liked Jeff's new page on Facebook, it's a fan page, so you have to like it. You know how that works. And it's just Tarot Jeff, T-A-R-O-T-J-E-F-F. So go like Tarot Jeff's page. You'll get updates. One of the cool things that he's going to start doing is at the end of the show, when he does his kind of recap for the evening, he's pulling one final card to read and share as kind of like the global card for everybody. So if you like his page at Tarot Jeff on Facebook, you can also read kind of like an analysis of what the card means and what his interpretation is to share with the masses, and that includes you and me. So hopefully that you'll get a kick out of that. He's not going to be on the show this coming Tuesday. I got an email from his lovely wife, Jill, this morning saying that they've got a special VIP event next Tuesday. That is September 2nd, but he'll be back the following week. So with that, next week on Wednesday, we're going to have Dr. Annie Ulrich back again. She does intuitive readings, dream interpretation. She also does tarot cards and also tea leaf reading, which is all just fascinating. I've had the opportunity to meet with her twice in person, and she's done readings for me. And the cool thing that I really liked with Dr. Annie is that she records it and then sends you the session afterwards so you can kind of relive it. You know, because sometimes, you know, if you're at the doctor or you're, you know, at a meeting or whatever, you just kind of get wrapped up in the moment of the meeting, and, you know, there sometimes things are said that kind of just kind of go over your head, or you're like, boy, that doesn't make any sense to me. But later on, you're like, oh, my gosh, I totally know what that means. That was really kind of my experience with Dr. Annie. I've had two private readings with her, one last October and then one a few months ago. And the one from last October, it came over in two sound files. And it was funny because when I first got them, I was like, boy, that must be a lot of stuff. But then I realized, so I'm going to kind of give you a little secret here. If you go in for a reading with any of these people that are on the show, less from you is always more. It's not that you shouldn't be giving them information or having a conversation or a dialogue or exchange. You absolutely should. But I found that when listening to my first session with Dr. Annie, I sat there and was like, blah, 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 blah. You know, she'd give me some, you know, information about what something that she thought that was going to take place. And then I would sit there for the next 10 minutes going, blah, 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 blah. And so re-listening to it, I was like, Garrett, can you just shut up for like 5 seconds? Because, you know, I'm really here to hear what Dr. Annie has to say, not what you want to babble about because you think it's awkward to have silence. So every time I would go back and listen to that, I'd be like, oh, my God, I talked to way too much. Now, the interesting thing was, listening to what she had to say, much of what she was sharing with me actually transpired within the time frame and, you know, either the circumstances or events. There were things that, you know, she couldn't have known about. So it was very, very cool. And then other things that, there were only two things out of that entire first session that she was very, very clear and very specific on. And I think one of the two things has transpired in the last couple of weeks, so just needed to take some time. And the second reading, I went back, and it was more really about I don't want to say like validation, but I was just like, you know, it's been a while. It's time for like a tune-up or a check-in or something like that. And so that's kind of the reason I went back for the second time, just couldn't hear what she had to say. And so enjoyed that a lot. And listening to her session from the second time, I tried to make sure I was just doing yes, no, or just very, you know, short answers. So consciously knowing that when I would go back to listen to the replay of that, I wouldn't have to listen to myself babble for an hour because, you know, it's fun sitting here, you know, chatting on the radio, but when you're, you know, paying for a service and it's really about gaining information, the less information you're babbling about is always better. So if you ever book a private appointment with Tarot Jeff or Dr. Annie Ulrich or our new guest next week will be Raynell Williams. She'll be on next Thursday. That'll be September 4th. She's an intuitive numerologist. I'm not really sure exactly what all of that means other than she really is a spectacularly fascinating lady. I had the chance to talk with her the other day for probably about 45 minutes. I just thought it would be a nice little five-minute phone conversation. And we just ended up, you know, kind of, I don't say clicking, but we just ended up, you know, clicking a whole bunch. And, you know, she shared a little bit of her story with me and kind of shared, you know, kind of how she does things when she's doing a reading. And it was just really fun. Neat lady. But she's referred to me by Rebecca. And, of course, you know Rebecca from her show, I Am Rebecca. And I don't know what the official term is, but I don't think Rebecca knows the official term. I just help her out is really what it is. But if you're looking for a label, I either host or produce a show for her on Saturday mornings here on Blog Talk Radio. It's called I Am Rebecca. So if you ever want to have a free intuitive psychic reading, kind of giving you the commercial ahead of time, you can do that with Rebecca on Saturday mornings from 7 to 8:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. The other secret is the show phone lines, oops, Eric's wanting to get up on the computer tonight. The show's phone lines actually open up 15 minutes before the show starts, and that's usually when I start screening callers and asking for the name and the topic. Well, I never ask for the question, and a lot of people are, we're kind of changing the mix and how we do the show. You know, it used to be we strictly were, you know, taking the calls in the order that they're received. Now we don't necessarily do that. We're doing some trial and error on things that kind of just make the show flow better, and some of those, you know, include grouping topics together. So if we got a bunch of people calling about love love and romance or job or career or family or whatever, we can group those together. It also helps Rebecca. She's starting to plan her workshops and seminars. So, you know, she's got an idea of what people are really, you know, curious about so she can tailor that information accordingly. But I do that on Saturday morning for Rebecca. So, you know, it's funny because when I see Rebecca do her readings in person, when she comes down to Southern California, and she'll be down here usually about once a month, and she'll do kind of like a Friends, you know, the sitcom on NBC with Jennifer Aniston, Courtney Cox, everybody, it, kind of a Friends coffee shop thing at Bogart's Coffee Shop in Seal Beach. And, you know, she goes in there, and, you know, people want to start giving their life story, and she goes, no. Less is better. You know, just give me your first name and then, you know, your question, like, you know, should I take the new job or, you know, how's that girl I'm dating or how's the boy I'm dating or what do you see in this or that, you know, intuitively. And that's all she needs. She doesn't need more because more just ends up kind of diluting things. And then you also, you know, are wondering, did I give them all of the information so they could just give me a generic answer that's going to be applicable across the board? That's another, I don't want to say a tell, but that's another tell that you'd have for somebody who's giving you intuitive information. You know, how much information did you have to give them on the front end before they gave you an answer? So the less information that you give, like name and subject, you know, name, tell me about my love life, okay? That's pretty good. That's all she needs, and off she's going. So if you, again, want to go listen to Rebecca's show, it's I Am Rebecca. It's in the Blog Talk Archives, of course, live Saturday morning, 7 to 8:30. Pacific Standard Time. Always encourage you to do that. So anyway, that is kind of what I am sitting here just kind of going back over the guests, but I'm not sure how I got off on that tangent, but I appreciate you kind of taking the ride with me. One thing I'm excited about telling you is that a recent guest, I say recent, it's probably like almost a year ago now, we had Kurgan Edwards Stout. He is an author and writer. I say author and writer, it's like two different things, but he's written several books, but he's also a columnist for publications like Huffington Post and so on. But he's going to be coming back on in the coming weeks, and we'll have him back on as well. But the week of September 8th, just to give you a heads up, Greg Archer is going to be coming back on the show. You'll remember him, our king of pop culture, for all of 2013. He took some time off, which has been a very exciting behind-the-scenes story that he's going to be sharing with us. But he took some time off to do some travel around the world and spend time with family and kind of shake up his life. And he's written this impressive new book that is going to be coming out in the first part of 2015. It's about his Polish family's heritage and being persecuted in Nazi Germany, and then, you know, how his family has been moved all over the world and where, you know, his family's at today. Anyway, he's going to be coming on September 8th talking about the book, what's going to be coming up, but also the need to hire a publicist to get the word out so he can go on book tours and things like that. And he's going to be doing a global funding campaign to hire this person for a three-month period. So he'll be looking to raise some money and come on the show and just talk about that a little bit on the 8th. And then really a huge honor on Wednesday, September 10th, we're going to have R.J. Tolson on the line. R.J. Tolson is I think he's 22 now, but he's a 22-year-old phenomenon. And I use that word, and it probably doesn't even do him justice, but he's 22 years old. He's the CEO of a holding company that has five companies and a charitable foundation that he founded that helps people in over 54 countries around the world. Just a unique, fascinating, brilliantly smart young man who is going to come on and tell us his story and some of the things that he's working on. And then we're going to get to headlines in just a second here. And on Thursday, September 11th, we're going to have Mr. Dennis Hensley on the line. And if you are not familiar with that name, he is I don't even know where to start. He's a writer. He's a comic. He is a producer. He's a performer. He does so, so much, and he is very well known in the West Hollywood community for putting on Mismatch Game. It's something that I've not seen in person, but I've heard just tremendous stories, and everybody who's seen this, it's kind of like the Match Game from back in the 1970s, and you know, he's got some drag queens on there and people that come on and do some fun stuff. But the long and short of it is that everybody that goes to see it absolutely raves about it, and he is just, you know, a hysterical person, and was recommended to me to ask to be a guest by Paul in Mass, and contacted Dennis on Facebook, and Dennis was like, sure, I'd totally love to do it. So I'm going to be really honored to have somebody who also does his own version of a podcast, and I'm going to try to listen to it at least two or three different times before he comes on so I can learn something, because the man is truly a gifted talent, and we're really going to be looking forward to that. As we get ready to start the long holiday weekend, I don't know if you have any big plans for the day, but we're going to be doing a special Rated G Radio. I'm going to guess probably early tomorrow, and early only, so that way if you were starting your weekend early and you want to start listening to some music, you can do it, and it will be at a time, I think I'm probably going to start the dance party probably around like 10 a.m. Pacific time, so like 1 Eastern. And you're going to go like, how are you going to do a dance party at 10 in the morning? Well, I've got a conference call at 9. Otherwise, I might even do it a little bit earlier than that. But I'm going to do my conference call for another business venture that I'm involved in at 9 o'clock, and then 10 o'clock start the dance party. It's 2 hours, and the 2 hours just absolutely flies by. I've got a ton of great music that you can play all weekend long. You can hit play for the 2 hours, and go back and hit play and play it again. And it won't hurt my feelings, and the ratings, of course, always love that. But if you got something special that you want to hear for the Friday night dance party, which will be a Friday morning dance party, let me know so I can get that on the calendar for you. And then, you know, again, back to regular programming, I think on the 1st, you know, at first, since that's a holiday for Labor Day, I may actually do another 2-hour dance party type of a show there as well. We'll just have to see, but we've got a lot of cool things that are coming up, and can't wait to share that with you. So we got a bunch of like stuff going on health-wise in the news today, and of course, you know, leading that, of course, is Joan Rivers, who's been placed in a surgically or medically induced coma following routine surgery. This story comes off of Yahoo. It's been all over the news today. Joan Rivers continues to remain hospitalized in New York City. Sources close to Joan tell Entertainment Tonight that the legendary comedian is in a medically induced coma following a routine endoscopy. Not long after the procedure started, she stopped breathing and was then rushed to Mount Sinai Hospital. Apparently, she also had a cardiac event. So I would read that as a heart attack. I don't know. This is Joan's daughter, Melissa, flew to New York from L.A. on the flight that landed at 7:40 p.m. Eastern time, but airport security informed crews they snuck her out an alternate entrance. Just yesterday, the funny lady was making the rounds at New York City-based magazines to promote her new book, Diary of a Mad Woman. She also filmed Fashion Police earlier this week, appearing perfectly healthy and on her game. As Joan remains hospitalized, celebrities continue to send her well wishes on Twitter. Ellen said, "I'm thinking about you, Joan, sending lots of love your way." Larry King says, "To my dear friend Joan, I've known you forever. I wish you nothing but the best in this struggling time. Go get 'em, girl." Alyssa Milano says, "Joan, I love you, lady. I'm thinking of you." And Marie Osmond also said, "Joan, sending you prayers and positive thoughts." So the 81-year-old actress, comedian, and TV personality is in a medically induced coma and apparently will be there through at least Sunday. So that's not good, but usually, if they're going to induce it, not being a doctor myself, I will tell you, I guess that's better than the alternative, so hopefully things will work out for her. Also in health news today, Jake the Snake Roberts from WWE fame, he's hospitalized after collapsing. He was on a flight from, East Coast to Las Vegas. And according to PWInsider.com's Mike Johnson, Roberts is currently in intensive care at a Las Vegas hospital. And unlike live wrestling shows where they say a nearby medical facility, he really is. Diamond Dallas Page, who's been spending a lot of time with the former star, tweeted out that Roberts is conscious but is still fading in and out. He says he just spoke to Jake's girlfriend, and he says, "Jake is now conscious but still fading in and out. Please keep the prayers coming." So 2014 actually was a pretty good year for him. He was kind of back with WWE in some type of capacity, but really leading up for the old school Raw show on January 6th. And then was also inducted to the WWE Hall of Fame right before WrestleMania 30. You remember him from his, I don't want to say interviews. Interviews is probably a strong word, but he appeared in the documentary Beyond the Mat. And he talked at length about his years and years and years of abuse with alcohol and drugs. His tumultuous relationship with his father and his family. It's just, sad in so many different ways. In a previous interview with WWE.com's Zach Linder, Robert says, quote, "I've done some bad things. I tried not to keep myself waiting for it. You can't live a moment that may not happen. You need to live in the moment. If it hadn't been for Vince McMahon, I wouldn't have gone to the rehabs that I went to." That was plural. "The rehabs didn't work, and the reason they didn't work was because I wasn't ready. I hadn't really found the problem. It wasn't just my addictions. I went through a lot in my life that scarred me pretty good. I built a wall around myself to the point where nobody knew what was really going on inside of me, including myself." So Jake is 59 years old and added that his friendship with DDP, Diamond Dallas Page, and getting into DDP yoga helped him get out of a rough patch and back to a good state of mind again. He says, although the Snake didn't have the most illustrious of careers, he's widely acknowledged as one of the best wrestling minds in the history of the business. Between his work on the microphone and in-ring psychology, Roberts connected with the crowd in a way that few before or since have been able to match. Don't like to hear that anybody's in the hospital or not doing well, but I'll tell you, boy, it's surprising out of all the people that have passed away in the last, 10, 15, 20 years, that was not a name that didn't come up a whole lot sooner, and that's simply just because of all the crazy stuff that was going on in his world, and none of it was good. We're going to play a couple of songs by Joseph Eid. He's a recent Friday night dance party guest, and we'll share some news of an upcoming appearance that he's going to be at this weekend. So enjoy these couple of songs from Joseph. We'll be right back.
We will find a way to kill our desires. We will find a way to keep getting higher. We will find a way to live like they say in the books with all the saints. We will do our best to pass every test. We'll deny ourselves of all good sex. And one day our bodies will free and our hearts will go numb. Don't that sound fun? Flesh and blood, I'm human. And ain't it good to be human? I wanna live like one here on earth, with no heaven, no hell. And when I die, I got enough time to be an angel. Be an angel. When I was young, I heard of Judgment Day, when God will come down and my sins will be weighed. They painted a picture of hate, and I learned how to pray, 'cause I was afraid to be flesh and blood and human. God, it's good to be human. I wanna live like one here on earth, with no heaven, no hell. And when I die, yeah, I got enough time to be an angel. To be an angel. Don't wanna levitate, don't wanna be a mystic, a monk, or a saint. I just wanna run free on my bare feet, play under the sun, and swim in the sea, and take you off to that moonlit tree. We'll bite from that apple 'cause it tastes so. Like a rope. about 1, 2, 3. You read books on how you should feel. You got a gifted mind, but it ain't connected to your heart. And I wonder sometimes if you're real.
It all over like lotion.
You say I don't communicate, but I think there's a time, there's a place. You sent me a real cute YouTube and you put it all up on Twitter too, but baby this bird needs some face to face. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And maybe it's your generation and your text are conversation, and you love me so, so strong on your iPhone, and I only say it if I mean it, and I get close so you feel it. My words may be far between.
Joseph Eid, he is going to be performing this Saturday night at the Huntington Beach Whole Foods. They've got a summer music spectacular that is going on, and it's been, well, they call it the summer music series, June through August. He's playing it, he's closing out the series, folks. It's at the Huntington Beach Whole Foods Market, 7881 Edinger Boulevard, or Edinger Boulevard, to the Bellaterra Center, Saturday, 5 to 8 p.m., and you'll catch Joseph Eid there. It's going to be awesome. I guess there's also going to be Fontaine's Muse and Lunar Rogue. So I'm not sure how that all plays out, but Joseph will be there, and it will be great live music, and donations are accepted. So that means if you go, regardless of who's playing, you know, throw a 5 or a 10 or a 20 in their tip bucket and, you know, help pay for gas and stuff like that. Also, go buy Joseph's album, Human, on iTunes. I will highly encourage you to do that, but he'll be there this Saturday. Let's see. In Facebook news, but there's two videos that I want to point you towards that are on my wall today. Number one, and I saw this as I'm sitting here going to my lunch appointment today with Dan Stokich. I'll talk about that in just a second. But I was, you know, stopped at a light. I don't text and drive. I don't read posts and drive. I don't do any of that stuff. But, you know, when I'm stopped at a light and you've got like 3 or 4 minutes because the lights are like chronically slow, it's like, okay, fine, whatever. So there's this video, and I don't know where it's at. It's somewhere in a Spanish country, only because that's how the translation comes across, and so I'm just making that assumption. So this guy finds this this mother duck that is just, you know, freaking out and upset with a lot of things going on in life. Well, what's really upsetting is the fact that all of her little ducklings fell through a grate, and, you know, like on the street. And so the mother duck can't do anything to get the ducklings out. And here comes this nice, I'm going to assume probably like a Mormon missionary guy, lifts the grate up and helps all of the little ducklings out. And you see them all scurry away into the bushes as a family. And, boy, just touch my heart. It's 2 minutes and 12 seconds that will change your life. I'll encourage you to do that. And for the dog lovers out there is a video that's out there. It says, Human tries to train puppy, and things take a ridiculous turn. Well, I don't want to say it's a ridiculous turn. These are like all those BuzzFeed articles. And you won't believe what happens next. You must watch. You know, and you're thinking, what? Are you going to come down and shoot me or something? What's going on? But it really is kind of cute, I will tell you. There's this guy who's trying to teach his little dachshund mix. Let's see. It is a, what do they say? I don't know. I think it's just a dachshund on here. They're trying to get to ring a service bell, and I'm not really sure the goal of having the dog ring a service bell, because I think that would drive me absolutely friggin' insane. But, you know, with one dog, maybe it wouldn't be so bad. Five, like I've got, I think all I'd be hearing is ding, 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 ding all day long. But they are training the dog to ring this little bell, to let people know it needs to go potty, or it's hungry, or it wants to play, or go for a walk, or whatever it is. So it doesn't tell us why the training thing is here, other than they are trying to train the dog to ring the bell. And so, you know, if you get this little puppy, and you think this little puppy's, you know, little puppies are not trainable, take that thinking, and hit the high road, because this guy has this tiny little puppy, and really within like two tries, this puppy is like, ding, 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 ding. Cutest thing ever. So if you get a chance to see that, I will encourage you to go along the way as well. And while the music was playing, I was able to take a little bit of a selfie. And I'll tell you, with my iPad, especially in the lighting that I have, it's kind of crappy, to be honest with you. But I snapped a picture. Eric, during the show, tends to either want to be standing on the desk, be on the desk, or be involved in the show in some capacity. But there are times when he is just, he's always cute. All of my dogs, cutest dogs ever. You know, I'm sure if you're a pet owner, you're saying, my dogs are the cutest ever. Well, for you, they are. That's great, you know, but I don't have your dogs to make comparisons or enjoy, so my 5 dogs are the cutest dogs ever. So one of the things that Eric will now do is that, you know, I'll pick him up and he'll want to be part of the show, and then I'll be like, okay, I've got to just get you to kind of chill out, you know, for a few minutes. So I'll just kind of like sit back in the chair just a tiny little bit. The next thing you know, his head's on my chest and he is passed out. So without trying to like wake him up or do anything crazy like that, I'm like, how can I snap a picture and get that posted while the music is playing and make sure that he still is not interrupted. So I was able to do that during the break. So hopefully you get a chance to see that. That is kind of fun and cool. I really, really get a kick out of that. So, but, you know, as much as Eric doth protest too much, because he does kind of do the, I don't want my picture taken, but, you know, if the camera's there, here, let me at least pose for it. So I think, you know, we're made from the same bolt, you know, the mold there. So what do you think about Brad and Angelina getting married over the weekend in France? Do you have Any feelings one way or the other? Are you excited they got married finally after being together for a million years? I don't know. So here's the article out of USA Today. It was updated 9:15 p.m. Eastern Time, so about an hour ago. It says, was there another secret marriage ceremony? Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie's long-awaited wedding in the south of France last Saturday may not have been enough to seal the deal, at least according to the few details the notoriously secretive couple have released. I just roll my eyes at some. But again, I'm a writer, I get it. A ceremony in France presided over by a California judge with a California marriage license would not by themselves appear to create a valid marriage under either California or French law. So there must be more to the couple's long trek to the altar. A spokesman for Pitt, Lindsay Kurtz, said in a statement on Thursday that the couple was married at a private ceremony at their Chateau Miraval estate in Provence. She said that long before traveling to France, the couple filled out their paperwork and obtained a marriage license from a local judge who also traveled to France to conduct the ceremony held at the chateau. Therefore, they are married under Californian law. But weddings by themselves are not enough to create legally valid marriages, apparently. States and countries have specific requirements for the steps couples must take to have a recognized marriage. The exact requirements vary. California marriage licenses authorize an official to, quote, perform a marriage ceremony within the state of California, according to a sample published by the State Department of Public Health. Instructions supplied with a license similarly specify that it must only be used within the state of California. I guess that would make sense. And to be a valid marriage in France, a California judge can't officiate in that country. Legally valid marriage ceremonies in France must be performed at City Hall by a French civil authority, according to the French Embassy in Washington, D.C. Mike Kretzmer, a family law attorney in Manhattan Beach, California, says it's a, quote, curious question. He said that if Pitt and Jolie were his clients, he would advise them to have a California ceremony as well, unless they already have. He says, quote, go have your celebration wherever you want to have it, but make sure you get it solemnized in California, too, he says. Probably for the, you know, prenup stuff that, you know, celebrity couples have to go through. If you are watching the drama unfold between Nick Cannon and Mariah Carey, Mariah Carey has replaced her wedding ring for a signature butterfly one and shows it off on Instagram today. Says it looks like we're just all going to have to start accepting the fact that Mariah and Nick are doing it. And not doing it. They are getting the divorce, and we don't know when, but there is a picture that's out today just solidified the fact that they're breaking up. The musician shared a picture of her and one of her babies on Instagram enjoying the Little Mermaid ride at Disneyland California Adventures on Wednesday evening, last night, and she captioned the photo, "My heart." Well, good for her. I don't know. I think things probably took a turn for the worse when, you know, the number one recording artist of the past, you know, 20 years sells 63,000 copies of her long-awaited album, and it basically tanks everywhere. And I think heads started to roll, and she fired all kinds of people along the way. And, you know, right, wrong, or indifferent, she's Mariah Carey. She can do whatever she wants. And I have a feeling, this is an opinion, I've never met the lady, I have a feeling she'd probably be very difficult to live with. That is my opinion. I do not know if that's true. If you've lived with Mariah Carey or been married to her, you're welcome to call into the show. Let's do some celebrity birthdays real quick. We've got several here of names that you'll remember or know, Mr. Jack Black. He's 45. He's an actor, comedian, voice artist, producer, and musician who was nominated for a Golden Globe Award for Best Actor for his role in School of Rock. That shocks me. He had additional roles in Tropic Thunder and Nacho Libre. Actually, I like that movie. And not just because it was professional wrestling. There was a nice little story to it as well. Before he became famous, he attended UCLA, where he acted with Tim Robbins in a theater troupe. In 1992, he made his film debut as Roger Davis in Bob Roberts. Here's a trivia fact. He co-founded the band Tenacious D with Kyle Glass and later starred in Shallow Hal and King Kong. His parents worked as engineers on the Hubble Space Telescope, and he dated comedian Kathy Griffin in 1992. Really? Wow. Okay. He also worked with Ben Stiller on an unsuccessful series called Heat Vision and Jack. So Jack Black is 45 years old today. Congratulations. We got a 49-year-old Shania Twain, Grammy Award-winning singer and songwriter, whose 1997 album Come On Over became the best-selling studio album of all time by a female artist. I didn't realize that. Wow, cool. Before she was famous as a young woman, she hunted game and chopped wood, doing anything in her power to help support her struggling family. In 2002, her album Up sold over 20 million copies worldwide, and she is sometimes referred to as the queen of country pop. She married Robert John Lang on December 28, 1993, and after their divorce on June 9, 2010, she married Frederick Nicholas Thibault on January 1, 2011. I think there was like a whole thing about they, Shania and Robert were friends with Frederick and his wife. And then after they split up, they both, you know, she started dating Frederick, and Robert started dating the Frederick's soon-to-be ex-wife, and I don't know. It was just all really weird. Ugh. Anyway, she covered Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain by Willie Nelson in 1976, and Shania Twain is 49 today. Happy birthday. Cassidy Pope, she's a singer, it says. She's the winner of the third season of NBC's The Voice. Her debut album, Frame by Frame, charted at number 9 on the Billboard 200. And she formed a band called Blake when she was in high school. And she founded the pop band Hey Monday, which went on hiatus in December 2011. She's dated Ryan Dawson, the drummer of the band All Time Low. And she has expressed gratitude to have Blake Shelton as her mentor for The Voice. So Cassidy Pope is 25. Can't say that I know who she is, but, you know, there we go. Someone that I do know and love very well is Leanne Rimes. I don't know her personally. I love her music, you know. Leanne Rimes is 32 years old. She's a country singer who covered the multi-platinum single Blue at the age of 13 and was considered the youngest country star since Tanya Tucker in the 1970s. Rimes started performing in talent shows at the age of 5. She was later almost cast as Annie in the Broadway musical. She won Star Search at the age of 8. She married Dean Charmey in February of 2002, and after their divorce in June of 2010, she married Eddie Cibrian in April of 2011, and she's released cover songs of Whitney Houston. For someone who's been as accomplished as Leanne Rimes has been, boy, that seems like a really light covering of her career. Of course, you know, it doesn't ever mention her song How Do I Live, how it sold millions and millions and millions of copies, and everything else that she's done. One of the albums that she put out, this goes back a hot minute, but one of the albums that she put out not long after she did the How Do I Live was a bunch of covers. I don't know if it's trying to fulfill a record obligation or what with a particular label, but she did a cover of Prince's Purple Rain, and I always thought that was interesting. Did a nice job, but I was like, I just don't picture Leanne Rimes singing, you know, Prince and Purple Rain. So there you go. Actor Kyle Massey, he's a TV actor. He's 23 today. Former child actor, best known for playing Corey Baxter in the television shows That's So Raven and Corey in the House. He earned his first TV movie role at age 8 on Selma, Lord Selma in 2008. He also competed in series TV series Dancing with the Stars. On season 11, he finished second. And he has one brother, Christopher Massey, who's also an actor. And Jennifer Grey, in season 11, actually took home that Mirrored Ball trophy. And Kyle Massey is 23. There's all kinds of speculation about who's going to be on Dancing with the Stars for the current rotation, which actually starts, I think they start filming in a couple of weeks. And I like Dancing with the Stars. It's formulaic. You see the same things year over year, but I like it. This time, though, I'm not seeing any names that really ring a bell. And that's not to say they won't come up with something, but just things that are really kind of names that you're like, oh, okay, now we're going to be doing the husband and wife as competitors on the show, and we're going to do this angle and that angle. The only name that I didn't see bantered around in the last couple of days has been who's going to, sell the senior set, because you've had Cloris Leachman, you've had Valerie Harper, you've had, you've had Jerry Springer, you've had all the people that were, the token people, they came on, they had a nice name recognition, people were really rooting for them, but you knew that they weren't going to win the competition. No disrespect, but it's just, just not going to happen. So I haven't seen a name like that on there, but it should be interesting. Elena Thompson, she's better known as Honey Boo Boo on TLC's Here Comes Honey Boo Boo. She's 9 today. The pilot episode for her show in 2012 attracted 2.2 million people. She was first introduced to audiences in TLC's beauty pageant reality show called Toddlers and Tiaras. Her mother has been criticized for giving her go-go juice, which is a blend of Mountain Dew and Red Bull before pageants. Good Lord. She has 3 older sisters named Anna, Lauren, and Jessica. And she gained fame from a TLC reality show, which is also the case for Kate Gosselin. That's associated with it. That makes no sense. The one thing I really thought was interesting about June, who's the mom, is that all the money that comes in for the show, even if the money is really all for Elena or, Honey Boo Boo, the money's split equally and put into trust accounts for the kids. So that way, they'll have a college fund or money when they grow up, and the family's just not going to blow through it right now. So I thought that was really, really smart. I don't think I've ever seen a full episode. Wish her well. And, boy, there you go. Last birthday of the day is Mr. Leo Tolstoy. He was born this day in 1828. He lived to a ripe old age of 82 and passed away on November 20th. 1910. So here's a little bit about Leo. He's a 19th century Russian author whose most famous works of realism are his epic novels, War and Peace, which is published in 1869, and Anna Karenina in 1877. His other works include autobiographical novels, novellas, essays, and plays. He set out to study law at Kazan University, but was a poor student. After leaving his studies behind and accruing considerable gambling debts, he followed his brother into the army. His famous novel, Anna Karenina, is considered the pinnacle of realistic fiction, and he was born into Russian nobility and, along with his 4 siblings, was the child of Count Nikolai Ilyich Tolstoy and Countess Maria Tolstaya. Tolstoy's marriage to Sofia Andreevna started blissfully, however, his radical beliefs eventually strained the relationship. Big hi to Anita in Oregon. It says, hey, G, it's your Phantom Lurker. Hi, Phantom Lurker, Anita. Good to hear your voice about Leanne Rimes. I love the video of her singing The Rose with the L.A. Gay Men's Chorus. I mean, I don't think I've seen that, Anita. I'll have to go check that out. I think anything she does is great. She just, at least in my mind, can do no wrong. Love Leanne Rimes. That, singing-wise, that is. I'll tell you, everything else that she does in her life, I think that, that might be a little suspect sometimes, but who am I to cast stones into a glass house? So I just think that, wow, you got a lot of drama going on. Sometimes it's kind of like, I remember going back to college in Arizona State 100 years ago, and one of my classes, there's something was going on in Europe at the time, and one of my professors said, well, what's the big deal? And, we're all up in arms about whatever was going on, and he says, well, take Italy as an example, Italy is this type of a political structure, and, this goes on and that goes on. And every, X number of years, something, major happens, and the people in the country get upset about it for, 60 seconds, and then they forget about it and go away. Why? Because in that particular country, you have everybody that, does, you have the porn stars or, who are politicians, and you have these people doing this and that and the other thing. And he says, if you didn't have a culture that had upheaval and disarray as the norm, you would think that's crazy, but that's all they've had for years and years and years. So they're used to all the craziness. Now, of course, if you take a look, we fast forward, years later, and we have, the Bill Clintons and the Bushes and the Obamas and everything else that's gone on. Sometimes things look a little crazy in our country, too, probably the outsiders, but just really interesting. So, you take a look at somebody like Leanne Rimes and Eddie Cibrian, and then Brandy Glanville, and that's the lady that, he was married to before. And, of course, Eddie and Leanne met on that set of a Lifetime movie and fell in love and divorced their spouses and got married and all of that. that whole scenario just seemed rife of life in Italy. And my, you know, big stretch for the comparison here is that drama begets drama, and that's all it seems to be. Now, of course, they could be living the easiest, nicest life, and of course, you know, things are made up or stretched for the truth or made interesting by a publicist who says, you know, we've got to, you know, we got to build some hype here because you got a new album coming out in X months or X weeks or X days. Or there's, you know, this big project that, you know, Eddie's going to be involved in or this, so we've got to have something that's in the news. And so they've got nothing to go on, and so they just talk about the strife between Brandy and Leanne and how Leanne is trying to be a mother to the boys, and, you know, Leanne didn't ask Brandy if she could get the boys' haircuts. And, you know, you just go back and forth, and you're like, seriously? I'm not even sure the people believe it. Who knows? Maybe they do. Maybe they buy into this. I really do believe, though, I think a lot of the celebrities that are out there, you know, you'll notice that there are a lot of celebrities, their names never make the papers, yet they're still celebrities. You know, you surprisingly can live a life that's not on the cover of TMZ or on Entertainment Tonight every night, surprisingly. But then there are others who are like, oh, I got to be on the cover of this, and I got to be on the cover of that, and I got to make sure I'm, you know, photographed here and photographed there. You know, it is possible, you know, to go to restaurants that are not the Ivy in Santa Monica. Notorious celebrity hangout, notorious to have paparazzi there. If you are going to go to the Ivy, you should be expecting that you're going to be attacked by the paparazzi, and they're going to take your picture and want to do all these, you know, Dr. Phil. I saw Dr. Phil at the Ivy one time. I was not dining there. This is actually before I moved to California, but I was here on one of my business trips, and I was walking down whatever it is, you know, Ocean Boulevard or whatever it is where the Ivy's at, and there was Dr. Phil getting into his brand-new blue Maserati, and it was a sweet ride. But, you know, there's photographers, you know, clamoring around doing all kinds of stuff. If you don't want to have your picture taken, if you want to have a nice, quiet night out with your husband or wife or whatever your situation is, your business manager, your mother, surprisingly, there are more than restaurants in the L.A. area than just the Ivy or the Grove or the whatever. There are lots of other restaurants that you can go to where you're not going to find press, and you can just have your nice meal and have it in peace, and people leave you alone. It is possible. So I'm always curious when you see celebrities that are doing stuff, because, you know, this is not a very well-kept secret, but there are a lot of celebrities that have all of the paparazzi on their speed dial, and they'll say, okay, Harvey Levin at TMZ, I'm going to be at this place at 11:30, so if you want to see me, I'll be there between 11:30 and 12:15, so, you know, send your crews, and then magically, you know, photographers are there. What are you doing here? Don't take my picture. Of course, you know, and they set the whole thing up. So when you see these pictures of, like, the Kardashians, or this is really when it happened back with, you know, but it happens all the time, but you have the, you know, like the Paris Hiltons and the Nicole Richies and things like that, they were calling the publications, they were calling the reporters ahead of time saying, I'm going to be here, come and take a picture of me leaving the club at 2:30 in the morning or whatever. That's just common stuff. So when you see a lot of things going on with Leanne and Brandy Glanville sounds like something you'd get like a shot for at the doctor. It's like, I've got a Brandy Glanville. Oh, let me give you an antibiotic and it'll clear right up. I don't know. Anyway, with all of that aside, we will end the show tonight with a couple more songs by Joseph Eid. Again, you can catch him at the Huntington Beach Whole Foods this Saturday at 5 p.m., part of a music festival. It's the last one for the summer season, and Joseph will be there along with two other artists and or bands, and we'll encourage you to go and check out live music. So in the meantime, here's a couple more from Joseph, and we will see you live early, early, early for the Friday Day Dance Party tomorrow to celebrate the beginning of the holiday weekend. Enjoy it.
Focus.
See you then.
On.
My mother, I loved her the most. Tell my father, I know he did his best. Tell my love, who broke my heart, I never stopped loving them. Tell my sister she should have been a poet, and tell my brother how guilty I felt when I ran off from home to chase all my dreams, but I left him back there to pick up the pieces. And they say that right is heading our way. They say that rock is as big as LA. It don't look like we'll make it. It don't look like we'll make it. Tell the mailman I'm sorry, but I forgot give him this Christmas card. You know it's sitting on my shelf along with everybody else's in my dusty pile of good intentions. Yeah, yeah. spent 7 years singing the blues. He convinced himself that no one else would ever do. But life is a funny little thing, 'cause in the end he woke up deep in love with his best friend. So come on, get free. This ain't just about you and me, baby. There's so many friends I'm thinking of. It's only love. It's only love. At the end of a long, hard day on the clock, it's in the smile in the eyes of the old guy sitting at the coffee shop. It's too small to find, but it's too big to hide. And you can feel it any time of the day or the night if you just stop. It's free, easy, and it's not some rare occurring thing lately. There's so much more I've been thinking of. It's only love. It's only love.
You've been listening to Rated G Radio.